So, we're going to finish our lesson number 3 this morning. Hope you have the lesson. If not, our first verse will be on 2 Timothy, chapter number 1, and verse number 15. All right, hope you're there. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll start this morning. Lord, thank you again so much for the time you've provided for us. Thank you for this day. Help those that are not here this morning for some reason. Lord, I pray that you know best what's going on. I pray that you'd help them. Anybody that's sick, maybe, Lord, I pray that you'd work with their health. Lord, we ask that you'd bless our day today. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. Again, thank you that we can do this, Lord. No fear of any resistance, that we can just be at your house, Lord. I pray that you be with our teachers as they're teaching today. Help me, Lord, as I continue with this subject matter. Lord, I pray that you'd help myself and my wife to learn. I pray that we would apply it in our lives. Lord, I pray for those that have showed interest and have talked about this subject. Lord, I pray that you'd give us grace as we raise children. Help the grandparents. I pray that they'll be praying. Lord, praying for those of us that have little children, Lord. And thank you for them having an example ahead of us that have raised children themselves. Lord, I pray that you would help our church as we endeavor to invest and be a good steward of the next generation, Lord. I pray that you'd bless our morning today. Whatever it may be that has happened this week to our people, Lord, I pray that you would be honored and glorified. Lord, you told us to be in your house when the doors are open. Lord, I pray that you'd encourage those that are on their way, keep them safe. Lord, again, we want to give you honor and glory. Pray for those that are away. I know several are away, are doing things. I think of Miss Lindsay and Miss Monique, Lord, as they're going to several churches today, Lord, as Miss Monique has been invited to several missions conference happening in our area. Pray for those churches as they host a missions conference. Lord, I pray that they would be successful. And Lord, increase, Lord, in the heart for souls around the world. And Lord, even their mission giving to, I pray that you would help them. And I pray that you'd bless again, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. And amen. All right, let's go to 1 Timothy. Or should I say 1st? I mean 2 Timothy. Let me see what I got here. Yep, 2 Timothy 1 and verse number 5. It's in your notes as well, I believe. So just in way of review really quick here. We talked about power of a parent's influence part number 1. And point number 1 was we have an influence through salvation. And letter A, that means it provides an eternal home for our children. And then it talks about seven things that kind of helps us when it comes to sharing salvation with our little children especially. And I don't think it's in your notes, but it talks about keep it simple. And then talk about emphasizing the basics. Ask questions, but not leading questions. And then watch for spiritual desire on the child's part to be saved. Let the child tell you when they got saved. And 6, follow with believer's baptism. And don't be embarrassed of a later need for assurance. That was point number 2 that we kind of went over there last week. Letter B, it says provides the presence of the Holy Spirit, all right? And that's a very, very important teaching that I believe should be taught. Anybody that's recently gotten saved is to introduce them to the Holy Ghost. Let them know that the Spirit of God upon salvation has taken residence inside their heart, all right? And that the Holy Ghost is the teacher of all things good. In John 14, 15, 16, a good expository on the Holy Ghost and what his job is. And we need the Holy Ghost introduced to our children as soon as they get saved, after they get saved, introduce the truth of the Holy Ghost. And I think it will help along the way. It will help along the way as the Holy Spirit works with them. And then we'll go to point number three today and we'll finish this lesson. We're doing something different. Instead of me changing it, I'm going to ask my mother to do it for me for a sense of distraction. All right. Number three, influence through a godly spirit. All right. Influence through a godly spirit. Speaking of the Holy Ghost, Galatians 5 is very clear to us that the fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, and you find all of those things in the book of Galatians chapter number 5 and verse 22 to 23. And then contrary-wise, you'll find in the same passage there, earlier verses, the works of the flesh, all right? And so it's fitting here, point number three, we have to realize that as parents, our spirit matters in raising children. Our spirit matters when it regards to raising our children. Have you ever been around someone whose spirit was contagious? Have you ever been around someone whose spirit is contagious? Or somebody say, wow, their smile just makes me smile, or their laugh is so contagious it gets me to laugh every time I hear them laugh, all right? So positive or prayerful or believing it's something that we could take from. You know, maybe they were a positive or a prayerful or a believing person. They had a lot of faith. Like sometimes their faith gets you to believe because they had such great faith, and it kind of motivates you. Well, if they believe it, maybe I could too. So, and things like that. Positive spirit is very, 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 very good thing to have as parents. Or the other way. The contrary part, maybe they're negative or complaining or a bit pessimistic in some ways, and how that sometimes can be a drag, right? When somebody is negative and somebody has a negative spirit, a negative outlook in life in general, it is a drag to be with that person, right? Have you experienced that? Don't raise your hand and don't tell us who it is, all right? All right, just pray. Pray for the Lord to change them. And there's a balance, obviously, all right? It's not, I'm not trying to say that everything is just going to be okay all the time. But a positive spirit understands that things are bad, but focuses on the good things rather than the bad things. Not that they're ignorant of the bad things, but the bad things have its place. And there's a place when you need to talk about those things. But the spirit is morally positive, looking for what God can do even in the midst of tragedy, all right? And so a positive spirit is very good. It's not being blind or ignorantly not looking at the reality of things, all right? That's what I'm talking about here with a positive spirit, all right? Notice what Paul said about Lois and Eunice, the grandmother and mother of Timothy. And here we are in 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 5. It says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that was in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois. Dwelt. That's a powerful word that you kind of notice there. That dwelt. All right. What is this description of unfeigned faith? What's unfeigned? Something that is, we could say, maybe we could say it's has some tenacity about it, or stick to it kind of spirit. Kind of, I'm not just gonna crumble here. I'm gonna believe, no matter what. You know, no matter what comes, my faith is not gonna fall away. All right. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. All right, and Timothy, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois. So grandparents, you have an influence upon your grandchildren, all right? And like I said before, I've said it again, don't compete with your children as they raise their children. Support them, compliment them, help them out, okay? Just like as just raising your children, before it would not be advantageous for mom and dad to be in disagreement in front of their children. That would not be a good thing, as in any leadership anywhere, all right? As the leaders make decisions, as the leaders have opposite maybe point of view, it would be wise for them not to share that with the rest of the class. They don't need to worry about that. They don't. That's not their place to be hearing leadership argue, all right? Parents should not be in odds with one another as they're raising their children and not provide confusion to your children. So grandparents, that same principle applies to you as you now have adult children and your adult children are raising their children. All right, I understand they're not doing exactly the way you would do it, no doubt, but that's their children. They have the utmost authority above you. All right, and find a way, if you have disagreements, find a way to share that with your children in a way that is more of an advisable role, all right? And advise them, maybe this is not a good thing. Or if you would like, I want to share something with you, and maybe in that way, all right? Just be very wise about that, grandparents. But as we notice here, this unfeigned faith that Timothy has was first found and it was dwelling in the grandmother, all right? And the mother, Eunice, likewise, grandmother did a good job in passing it to mama, and mama did a good job in passing it to his son, her son. And I'm persuaded that in thee also, all right? This was the unity between what they said and what they displayed, all right? This was a unity between what they said and what they displayed. They influenced him through the spirit of faith. They had an influence that was positive, all right? And so we see here that your walk needs to be united with your talk, all right? You can't say things and don't do it. And you can't do things that doesn't match what your teaching is, all right? Don't do this, but they watch you do it, all right? And that doesn't help, and that provides, again, I say, confusion, all right? So letter A, we go to the letter A here now. It be positive. Be positive. There's a lot of negativity in the world, but be positive, all right? Be positive. And it's not us hiding from truth, all right? It's not us disappearing into la-la land when I talk about being positive. Well, the world is crazy. The world is chaotic. The world is dark. The world is hard. I understand all that. And the Bible speaks of truth in Scripture that is happening today. Bad things, all right? Bad things. The Bible talks about bad things that is happening today. But overall, when you read the Scripture, there's a positive approach to the Lord here, especially if you are walking right with the Lord. If you're walking right with God, there's a very positive spirit that God has with those Christians that are walking right with him. If there's nothing between you and the Lord, praise the Lord. Make sure there's nothing between you and your brother and sisters in Christ, all right? And as you love the Lord, may that love also be shown to your fellow men, both lost and saved people, all right? They need to see that you have Jesus in you and show the love that God would show if he was walking in your place, all right? Do that. And that creates a lot of positive spirit amongst a group, all right? Have you ever wondered where Daniel's excellent spirit stemmed from? Remember Daniel? In the book of Daniel, obviously. Have you ever wondered where that came from? An excellent spirit. Once recorded was his contemporary said of him, all right? He didn't say that about himself. Look at Daniel, chapter number 5. It's right there in your notes. Daniel chapter number 5 and verse number 12. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Let's pray before we keep moving this morning. Lord, we come again, and I pray that you'd help us to understand this truth in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I was moved to do that. I don't know why. But Daniel chapter 5 and verse number 12, you find here that Daniel had an excellent spirit, and you find some things here that kind of helps with that, dissolving of doubts, dissolving of doubts, all right? And that's a good trait to have as a Christian, that we are people of the truth. We are people that believe the truth of the Word of God. We should not be causing doubts, all right? We should be always upholding and making sure that we are portraying to the people with our words and our actions truth, all right? Provide honest things in the sight of all men. We need to be producing some settlement in people's mind. We should be peacemakers. We should help them with their mental state as a Christian. We should be a tool God could use to help people that are going through some very, very hard mental strain or even problems. So God needs us to be that way, dissolving of doubts. Your conversation should not create more doubt about the church, about God, about anybody that you love. That is not going to cause any kind of a positive spirit. And that's why talking about people and talking about decisions made, talking about things that you don't really have the business to talk about should be left unsaid. Should be left unsaid, because what happens is you don't know everything that happened or will happen. You're very far away from the situation. You're a third party in the situation. And to be honest, there's no really authority that you have to be talking about this. And what you do is when you talk about it and you talk to other people about it and you bring other people to it and just keep talking to a bunch of people about it, what happens is it brings confusion. It brings confusion and it causes doubt in people and in decisions. So be careful. Be careful what you talk about and how you talk about it, all right? Daniel chapter number 3 and verse number 6. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princesses because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm, all right? That was one of the reasons Nebuchadnezzar picked Daniel, because he had an excellent spirit. All right, this is the point of view and opinion of the writer here of our curriculum. I'm guessing, he said, that Daniel's parents modeled an excellent spirit, which Daniel absorbed before he was taken from them. Now, he could derive that for the fact that Daniel was a child, and obviously all of us have some kind of parents or one another. And remember the story about Daniel. He was taken from Jerusalem and brought to Babylon, all right? And he was ripped apart from his family. Now, we don't know. The Bible doesn't talk about necessarily, that I am aware of, about his life as a child being grown up in his family. But as we assume Timothy had an influence from his mom and grandma, we're kind of using that as an opinion point here, that maybe Daniel's parents was the reason why Daniel had an excellent spirit, all right? Your spirit has a fantastically large influence on your child. A steady spirit brings security. A positive spirit brings joy. A prayerful spirit brings peace. Your attitude and demeanor are constantly training and influencing your child, all right? Whether you're talking or not talking, it's just the way who you are. Your spirit has a way that influences your children, all right? So what kind of spirit do you have? If that is always angry, even he suppresses hateful words or action, all right? Even if he suppresses hateful words or action, but the kids notice that you're as a dad, you're angry, his children are likely to develop an angry undercurrent in their spirits, all right? The children will have an angry undercurrent in their spirits. If their mom is always offended because her kids weren't treated the way she thought they should have been, her children are likely to develop easily offended spirit as well. Anybody want to testify? I always testify, so I'm not doing that today. You know way too much about our home. How about you? It's your turn. Am I saying things that are weird? Am I saying things that are true? So our spirit matters, right? Our spirit matters. The way we carry ourselves and with what attitude we show. It affects raising our children. If your attitude affects your associates, people that you don't even say close friends, but people that know you from maybe the neighborhood, you're not really close, but they see you. If they are affected by your spirit, how much more the people that live with you in a day-to-day basis? Would you think that they get affected by your spirit? Absolutely. Grandma, how's your spirit? Grandpa, how's your spirit? Mom, how's your spirit? And it matters. The converse is also true. If dad gets laid off at work, but his attitude is one of trusting the Lord, his children are influenced by his peaceful spirit. If mom is disappointed that the coach didn't play her son in the game, but she encouraged him to keep practicing, he's influenced by her positive spirit. They will be repulsed by a bitter, hateful spirit, and they will be drawn to a parent with a positive spirit. Children do what children see. Children do what children see, and how that is so true. As I have family meetings and I have to instruct or give instruction, it's funny how the two-year-old repeats what I say to all the three of them. As I say it verbatim, she comes right at it and says, yep, you guys need to be quiet, time to listen. Like, you too. You too, little one. Right? Proverbs 23:26, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. That's the power of influence. I think Pastor Cole and many other preachers have preached the thought of children giving their hearts to their parents and then parents giving their heart to their children. In fact, the last book in the Old Testament speaks of that in the book of Malachi, how that is a positive thing. That is a wonderful thing. But the idea of that comes along with this responsibility. And what is that? You better do good things before you say to your kids, hey, do what I do. Do what I do. Ooh, that's just a powerful verse. Every parent should memorize this verse. My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Pause. Your kids are the way they are because of the way you are. I'm sad, but that's the truth. Until they become old enough to develop their own individuality, and they will. By the way, parents, don't get shocked when they do. They will. That's God's plan for kids not to stay at home forever. They will grow up. And your job is to have them to be successful adults as they live in your home. And as they go on, step out into the world and become their own, they will develop some of these own, their own spirits and their own way of doing things, and just be mindful of those things. If it's not against the scripture, it's just different from you, guess what? It's just different. It's not wrong, all right? Different is just different, all right? My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Philippians 4:9. If you're hysterical, that's going to be what happens with your kids. Don't be afraid. Don't be shocked that your kids act that way. Like when you're surprised in the way you act, one of your kids is going to pick up on your response. They're going to like, oh, that's the right way to do it. Mom does it. That's just natural. They just follow that. And they'll learn to do it that way. If you're nervous and you're worrisome, you worry all the time, well, that kind of spirit is contagious, and your kid's going to worry about that too, all right? Philippians 4 and verse number 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Another powerful verse. And this is Paul now talking to Christians. And he said these. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. If it's good. If Pastor Chris is saying this, if it's good. If it's not, don't. Those things which you have both learned, received, heard, and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. And Paul was a great example. And the Bible is very good about showing some of his error in judgment. We talk about John Mark, the writer of the book of Mark, how Barnabas and Paul had a sharp contention and they separated. He didn't want to take John Mark because John Mark quit part of the trip. And Barnabas says, well, I'm not done with him yet. And Barnabas is that spirit of consolation. All right? What's that? He's always looking out for the person that's stupid. The person that doesn't want to do right. The person that's a rebel. And it seems that Barnabas was made by God and fashioned in the spirit by God to help those people that otherwise others would not help. Remember Paul? Remember who helped Paul? It was Barnabas. We would not have an apostle Paul today if there was not a Barnabas. If you know the story, how that went, remember Paul killed a bunch of people. Now all of a sudden, he's part of us? Yeah, right. You're part of us? Yeah, right. This is another tactic you guys are doing here. And maybe you're just pretending you're one of us, infiltrating us, so you can know what's going on and then do an onslaught on us. But Barnabas says, no, I'll take care of him. And Barnabas did the same thing. And we know later, I believe that they got right with the Lord, because Paul said about John Mark that he was profitable. John Mark got right, I think, because of Barnabas. John got back after he quit. He came back, got a second chance. Remember the series that Pastor Cole preached on, the second chances? And I remember John Mark was being one of those. And how incredible that was. So that spirit of working with hard-headed people is needed in the body of Christ. Why? Because there's some hard-headed people in the body of Christ. You don't believe so? Let's talk after the church. Letter B. Be prayerful. All right? Influence through godly spirit. Be positive. Be prayerful. One of the greatest gifts of influence you can give your child is you praying for them. Prayer is so significant that it will spend an entire lesson on it. All right? And that's a different time in one of the lessons here. Prayer is so vital that it is one of the main ways Paul served his children in the faith. Anybody that he led to the Lord, he served them by prayer. Look at Colossians in your notes. Colossians 1:9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Prayer is underrated in 21st century Christianity. Prayer is underrated, as is the sharing of the gospel. Those are the two things that I see very neglected in the 21st century America Christianity and across the world. We don't pray enough and we don't share the gospel enough. I don't know why. I don't know why. May I suggest, because they're powerful. May I suggest that the devil has duped us to ignore the two most powerful things that we can influence anybody by. And God says, I'm disappointed. I've given you the tools. I've given you the power, but you neglect the power. You neglect the power. We deny those two great things, prayer and the sharing of the gospel. Across America and across the world, those two things are really neglected. You know, the least attended events are soul winning events and prayer events. Least attended across the board. If you have music going on, it's packed. If you have music going on, it is packed. But how many times did Jesus really sing? Maybe once or twice recorded. How many times did he pray? Almost all the time. How many times did he share the gospel? Almost all the time. He has stories upon stories upon stories of people he shared the gospel. And what are we missing? The power in America. Why are churches empty? Because we don't do these two things. I don't know why I went there. But God wanted me to. Your children will not be able to navigate through life's greatest challenges without a fervent prayer life. And I say to God, 100%, amen. They will not. I can't go through it. I'm not any better than them. They have a better start than I did. But I can't go through life without prayer. Prayer is so powerful. We don't believe it, but it is so powerful. The most agitation that you feel from people around you can be changed by you simply praying for them. You don't believe that? Well, maybe that's why you don't pray. You got somebody that you are against in the church, they've done something wrong to you, and you've done something wrong to somebody, you pray. If you want any change to happen, you pray. And you wait on God to do something. And it can take years. It could take decades. But I can guarantee you that's the only way you're going to change some people is by praying. The only way you're going to change them. Well, Pastor, they don't know. Well, not in this church, guys. We have had a pastor for 40 years that have studied this book and has given us ample, ample Bible knowledge for us to know how to act and how to react. It's not the knowledge that we're missing. It's this whole idea of the attitude. And it's funny how it's tied to the spirit of any individual Christian. And I'm telling you, prayer is so powerful. It is so powerful. You want somebody to get saved? You better be praying. You better be praying. You want somebody to come back to Jesus because they've left the faith in your mind, they walked away, they're backslidden, you better have been praying. You better be praying. You want souls to get saved on the mission field, you better be praying. You want missionaries to be called, you better be praying. You want your relationship between you and your wife to be good, you better be praying. Pray, 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 pray. Underestimated the power of prayer. And it's not funny that it's in the area of child rearing. Child rearing. You could fail almost anywhere else, but please do not fail to pray. The most easiest thing to do in my Christian life is to shut everything off, walk away from the situation, and simply take a moment with my God and pray. It's so easy to do. It's so easy. There is no physical effort that it takes for you to stop what you're doing and sit there on the chair, maybe on your rocking chair or on your bed, and just meditate and say, God, I'm dealing with a couple of situations. There's a couple of people that have at odds at one another. I love them both. They really love each other, but they have a contrast of opinion on this item. I pray, Lord, that you would work to make them unite. Give me wisdom in Jesus' name. Amen. I've done that so many times. And I will continue to do that because there's where I see the change. If you fail at anything, don't fail to pray. Pray. Pray, guys. And find the power in prayer. Does your prayer life say to your children that prayer is important? Pause. Does your prayer life say to your children that prayer is important? We better pray for Israel. We heard some great Bible doctrine and truth preached to us Wednesday night, and how the world is against that group of people. We better be praying for the peace of Jerusalem. If there is not an Israel, it would be a mighty proof against that there is not a God. But that there is an Israel, that's a mighty proof that there is a God that exists. Better pray for them. They need a lot of prayer. Let me read you a story and we'll close. Dr. Richard Halverson, former U.S. Senate chaplain, was once speaking to a group of Christians who were angry with Congress for their lack of initiative to restore prayer in the schools, and still not there. Dr. Halverson asked, let me put a plug in here, we are getting to the schools via CEF, and we're partnering with them, and we have a couple of classes across now, and we're doing a good job of that. So think about that. Oh, the prayer is not in school, but we're getting clubs, backyard clubs in the school. So pray for the school ministry on Tuesday. It typically happens, all right? Dr. Halverson asked these men to raise their hands if they had personally been praying with their children outside of church. Not one raised his hand. They're fighting the U.S. Senate here to have prayer back in school. But this man asked those same people fighting to get prayer back in school and asked them a very personal question. Do you pray with your children? Not one of them raised their hands. Let me say that again to you people. Not one of them raised their hands. Dr. Halverson pointed out that while prayer in public schools should be restored, it's hypocritical to express such deep concern about it when parents are not taking the opportunities they do have to pray for their children. I don't mind your children doing sports. It's good for them to get some of that excess energy out. Better yet, train them to do some work. I'm glad I got a big yard. I'm very excited about Micah. I'm not sure if he's excited about this, but he will be helping me mow yards. All right? The snows had been very, very nice to us. Gowanda has been very nice to us in the last 2 years we've been there. We haven't had to use the snowblower yet. Get them to know and do some skilled work, you know? Work on vehicles. Work on the house. Teach them how to paint. Teach them how to do those things. But if you have to get them to do sports, let me ask you, why? Ask yourself before you take them to that baseball game, before you take them to a football game, why? I'm not against sports. I play them. I was very good at it. Not anymore, I'm fat. I can't be good at it anymore. I can float. I can swim. If you wanna go against me on floating, I can float. The saltier the sea, the more buoyant I will be. And I will float. I will beat you, for sure. I probably can't run on the courts anymore of basketball. I knew that, being in the Philippines. I stayed in the middle and shouted at people. Do this, do that, do this. Pass the ball to me. I'll help you pass it to the other team on the other side. I can still catch the football. I can't run no more. Can't run anymore. I'm not against sports. It's got its place. It's got its place. What I'm trying to say is, we busy ourselves with things probably not so important. We go to this play, we go to this activities. I find that Americans like to do stuff. Turning the river to green. Great. My wife and girl went there. But we can fill ourselves with amusements and leisure. And we fail to do probably one of the most important things, and that is pray. I don't know how many streaming apps we have. And to be honest with you, do we really need all of them? Or maybe we could just shut it off and say tonight, kids, before we eat our dinner, do you have any prayer requests? And let's pray together as a family. Charles Spurgeon pointed out that even in Christian homes, children don't always observe praying parents. Brethren, this is Charles Spurgeon, I wish it were more common, I wish it were universal, with all, quote-unquote, Christians, to have family prayer. We sometimes hear of children of Christian parents who do not grow up in the fear of God and were asked how it is that they turn out so badly. In many, very many cases, I fear there is such a neglect on family worship that it's not probable that the children are at all impressed by any piety supposed to be possessed by their parents. Your children will indeed do what they see in you, not just in your actions, but in your attitude as well. You're constantly influencing their hearts by the temperature of your spirit. One of the greatest myths of influence is that we can plan for a few big moments. I like this, and I want to bring this to you. One of the greatest myths of influence is that we plan for a few, quote-unquote, big moments in their lives. Big moments of influence. And expect those times to have great significance in our child's life, while sadly ignoring the day-to-day moments of influence. And I will not apologize to you, and I will never apologize to anybody for spending quality time with my little kids. I will not apologize to you. It is as spiritual for me to take them fishing as for me to be in the office taking phone calls. Someday they will leave my home. Let me say this to you. Someday they will leave my home, and my influence will be at most advisable, just an advice, if they want it. But right now, while I have them, may I do the most spiritual thing any parents that have little children do. Spend time doing spiritual, constructive things with your children. Watching movies are not spiritual, constructive things. Discuss things with your children at home. Tell them what you believe. Show them what you believe. Let them know what you're about. Let them know who Jesus is to you and the things of God, what it means to you. The truth is that the greatest moments of influence don't always happen in what we consider to be the major life events. It is the consistency of little moments of influence over time that adds up. And can I say that to be true? There's another reason why I took my little Mariah with me for 3 weeks. Remember, it wasn't easy, by the way. Remember, if you are not influencing your child, something or someone else is. Now is the time to teach your children while they are young. Your time to influence will not last forever. But the impact of the influence you invest during your window of opportunity can last for a lifetime. There might be a moment that I'll miss, but there might be plenty of moments I won't because I choose to spend time with my kids. And maybe on a weird afternoon that I could not plan and could not make an event, but in just a sheer spending time in the mid-afternoon and off time, they'll say some amazing things that I will not want to miss as a parent. We talk about their first step. We talk about their first words. Don't stop there. Don't stop there. How about their first spiritual moment? How about their first spiritual decisions? Don't miss those because you were busy doing something maybe less important. I'm not saying we're not doing important things. But you have to choose. And you have to choose. When you have young kids, Don't neglect them. They spell love, T-I-M-E. Lord, we come and are asking for your help. Help our grandparents to help parents and help us parents to really put a positive influence by our spirit to our children. Help us to be positive. Help us not to be negative in a way that is destructive. Help us to be real. Help us to be truthful. Help us to show them the reality of life. Not sugarcoat things, but yet do it in a positive way. Lord, help our children too to know that prayer means a lot to us. Convict us, challenge us, change us in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.